everybody, welcome back to the Percy Jackson Son of Poseidon podcast. This is going to be my review for episode 3 of the TV show. We visit the Garden Gnome Emporium. So the title of the episode actually comes from chapter 11 in the books, because this is where they go to Auntie Em's Garden Emporium and they meet Medusa. So the episode opens with Percy going to the attic in the big house, seeking the oracle that houses the spirit of Delphi, so that he can get a quest. And I don't really like the look of the oracle. It's like this, like, lady that, like, looks like she's in Halloween makeup. I think Percy even makes a joke about that. She doesn't look like a shriveled up old mummy, like in the books. But, like, the cool, like, little gas fog thing does come out of her, and that's kind of cool. But yeah, I don't really like the look. And, you know, I don't like that it uses the image and the voice of his stepfather, Gabe, to recite the quest prophecy. I think that's a little weird, and it kind of feels like it's thrown in there for the kids as of like a visual. I don't like it. It doesn't fit with anything, and I don't think that's from the books. But anyways, so he gets the quest from the oracle, and so Chiron then assembles this team of candidates that Percy can choose from to go on the quest. And of course Percy chooses Annabeth first, and I like his reasoning. He says because she's somebody that wouldn't hesitate to, you know, leave Percy behind in order to finish the quest. Like, she's the one that's going to keep the quest, you know, on target. And so I like that, like, it's her, you know, wisdom and ambition that's going to get the quest done. And so that's a good reasoning. And then we see Grover tending to the Pegasus stables when Percy tells him that he chooses Grover because he needs somebody that he can trust. So I do like, there's like a reasoning behind why he chooses the two of them in this. And it's nice to kind of establish the Pegasus horses. But I think it could have just like looked a little cooler. Like they're just kind of like standing around and Grover's like, you know, shoveling Pegasus poop. So I think they could have like if we had like seen them flying around, like maybe if like they were landing in the stables, that would have been just a little bit cooler. But we get a good moment with Luke, where Luke gives Percy the winged shoes from Hermes. And I like Percy, like, is trying to apologize for not choosing Luke. And he has a good reason for not choosing Luke. It's because, you know, Luke and Annabeth are so close that he would have only had Annabeth's back and not Percy's. And, you know, Percy needs somebody he can trust. And so it's a good scene, you know, for between Luke and Percy. And, you know, it'll make Luke's betrayal in the end all the more worse for Percy. So I do like that. Sort of building up that relationship a little bit. We're getting these little nuggets of, you know, we're seeing Percy and Luke become friends, thus the betrayal is, you know, it hurts more. And so the trio then sets off on foot, and they leave camp, and it reminds me of the hobbits leaving the Shire in Lord of the Rings. I just thought that, like, the visual of the landscape, I just thought that was really cool. And so they make it to the bus stop. And so, you know, Annabeth gets off the bus and, you know, volunteers to go get snacks. But she notices the Furies are, like, around them and hiding. And so I like, you know, that we see how perceptive Annabeth is. But I don't like the trio, like, arguing about, like, who's going to leave the bus. And Grover can just, like, only burst into a song. That's a little too much. It's a little weird. I don't know what Grover's doing. So I don't like that whole argument scene. But I do like the conversation between Annabeth and Mrs. Dodds, a.k.a. the Fury Electo. And so we learn in this episode that Grover was Annabeth's protector, and he failed to save Talia. And that also Electo had also failed to capture Annabeth. And so it kind of feels like these unfinished missions for the two of them, right? And, you know, it's not exactly how it went down in the books, but that's okay. I like that they kept this whole bus stop scene in, at least. And Annabeth knows, you know, they can see the Furies now. And so Annabeth kills the other Fury, and then the trio escape. And then they end up in the woods, which Grover says leads to a satyr path. And that takes them to Auntie Em's Garden Emporium. And I don't like that Annabeth immediately knows that it's Medusa, but I do like the introduction of Medusa. And so Electo had followed them there, so they decide to go into Medusa's home, you know, so that they don't have to, it's like the lesser of two evils, right? And so Medusa, like, offers them all of this food, which is actually in the book, so that's kind of nice. And then we get the story of how Medusa was punished, or cursed, by Athena, and how, you know, it's both Percy's dad and Annabeth's mom's fault, you know, that she got the punishment of, you know, with the snakes in the hair, and she could turn people to stone. And so I like kind of building that, like, she's got a gripe with both of them a little bit, you know? And that kind of makes the scene a little more tense, I think. And then I like the scene in the kitchen where Percy's talking to Medusa. And, you know, her face is, like, hidden behind this, like veiled hat for most of the time, which I think is kind of a cool look. But, you know, Medusa then tells Percy, you know, he can't trust Annabeth. And, you know, he can, you know, she can help him along his quest if he just gives her up. And so I kind of, like... You know, Percy, you know, was willing to, like, talk to Medusa, but, like, he's not that stupid. He's not gonna, like, just, you know, fall for her tricks and everything. So, of course, then the trio run, and they run to, like, her, I think it's a basement. It's, like, this huge underground warehouse of, like, all of her stone statues, which is a little weird. So then Grover puts on the winged shoes, he flies around, and Annabeth, you know, puts her on, you know, she's, you know, they're all kind of running around from Medusa, and then Annabeth, you know, uses her invisible cap to sneak up on Medusa and then puts her cap on Medusa, and then Percy can cut off Medusa's head. So that's kind of a cool little way to trick Medusa. I don't think that's how it went in the books, but it is a cool little trick here. But I do feel it's just like that all happened like so quickly. But then they use the head to kill Electo, who was just like waiting outside the whole time. And then Percy mails the head to Mount Olympus, which is right out of the books, so I thought that was fun. And then at the very end of the episode, we see Hermes delivering it to Olympus. So I like that little touch that we're keeping that from the books. So we do get a nice scene with the trio after they defeat Medusa. They're finally talking out their issues for once, you know, with each other. Percy doesn't trust Annabeth. He wants to trust Grover, but feels betrayed by Grover at every step of the way. And so I like them. They're finally working out these issues and, you know, with each other. And they, you know, it's a nice moment where they can kind of, like, come to an understanding between three of them. You know, and Annabeth and Percy acknowledge that they, you know, they could have given each other up, but they didn't. And that proves that, you know, Percy can, they can trust each other. You know, they can all trust each other on this quest. They all have the same goal in mind. Nobody's trying to undermine each other. And so I do like that. It's a nice moment for the three of them. And so overall, I do like the episode, but I still think the show has some problems. The main problem is that it still just feels like it's like rushing through the parts of the show, like it's like hitting the story beats and then just moves on, but we're not getting the like character moments in between. We get a few moments like Annabeth talking to Mrs. Dodds on the bus and Percy talking to Medusa and Luke, but you know, there's some few times in here where we could have gone a little deeper in the first three episodes, not just the episode, but we just kind of keep things going. I mean, this episode was, I think, like 40-something minutes. So, it's. I mean, I'm not sure why these aren't an hour. My only guess is they might want to put it on network TV at some point, and they need to be able to have time for commercials. That's my only guess. But I just feel like better writing, you could maybe pace it out a little bit so it doesn't feel like we're just rushing to get to, you know, the bus scene and Medusa. Like, we need the moments in between. Like, we should have had a little more time with Chiron talking to Percy, not just assembling this group of people. Like, there should have been a little more at camp in the beginning, and I think we just need those character beats a little bit better. Like, when they're in the woods, you know, Percy wants to confront Grover, you know, I mean, the moment gets settled later at the end, but that was a good moment to take the time to, like, let the characters, like, get to know each other and, like, bring out some of this past history and, you know, build the character relationships. And, you know, it keeps getting, like, undercut with, like, Grover doing weird things, which I don't like. So, I mean, I like this version of Grover. I think he's fine. I just don't think he's not really written, I think, the way the character should be written. His comedic moments aren't the same as what, you know, his role in the book. He's a little too confident in this, I think, even though he shouldn't be. So I don't know. It just feels, this is something that just feels a little bit off. I think the actors are doing a fine job acting. I think Annabeth's actually doing probably the best. She feels like, Annabeth in the book, first book, is very, like, antagonistic towards Percy. They are not friends. They're, like, frenemies in that first book. And so that I get in this. Percy is just so much of a downer that it's not fun. And Grover is kind of just not the comedic relief that I thought he could be. And then another problem is just a lack of fun. You know, the books are narrated by Percy, so you get Percy's fun commentary on everything and his unique perspective of this kid demigod and everything happening around him and him just in this new magical world. The show just doesn't feel fun. Percy just feels like a downer the whole time. It lacks the fantastical whimsy of this, you know, mythical, magical world. You know, I think one of the reasons people love Harry Potter is because, you know, even in a scene where, you know, the three of them are just walking through Hogwarts, you know, the stairs are moving in the background, or the paintings are moving, or the candles are floating. You know, it just makes you feel like you're in a magical world. Camp Half-Blood is, like, lacking that. Like, we could have more comedy, you know, just like with the mortals not being able to see the Furies, or like I said, like the Pegasus flying in the background or something. Like, the show just lacks that fun element of being in this mythical, magical type world, and Percy's, like, wonder about, like, all of this stuff that he's finally seeing for the first time. We're just kind of missing that element a bit, and it kind of just makes the whole show feel a little bit like a downer. That being said, I did like the villains in this episode. I was, you know, originally I was concerned about Megan Mullally casting as Mrs. Dawes, just like I was concerned about Jason Mantzoukas casting as Mr. D. But actually, they both have surprised me. I thought Megan Mullally did a great job in the scene with Annabeth. I thought she came off as really menacing. So I do like that. I think it's working out pretty well, better than I thought when we had cast these comedic actors in these roles. They're stepping up, so I like that. And then I liked Jessica Kennedy Parker as Medusa, which really surprised me when they finally revealed her face and it was her, because I only know her from the show The Flash, where she plays the Flash's daughter, Nora Allen. And I did not like her character on that show. It wasn't the actress's fault. I just found the character to be really annoying, and it's partly why I stopped watching the show. So I was really impressed when I saw that it was her, because I would not have guessed by her subtle acting here as Medusa and her tone of her voice. She came off very Southern Belle charm, which I liked. And so, yeah, I was impressed with her as Medusa here, you know, and I kind of wish we got more Medusa. But again, this whole show is rushed. But also, Medusa is just a small part of the first book. But I thought she did a really good job here. And we do get to see Lin-Manuel Miranda as Hermes going up the elevator to Olympus. But we don't actually see Olympus. So it's a little tease, but I think that's kind of a fun introduction to Lin-Manuel Miranda as Hermes. So as much as I am enjoying this show, you know, I like seeing the book come to life in a more accurate way than the movie, but it does still have a lot of problems that I was really hoping it wouldn't have. Like, it should not be this rushed. It should have more fun. So I'm not sure who the show is for. Like, I don't think it has enough that magical fun that would draw the kids in, but it also doesn't have the character moment in depth that I think would keep the adults coming back either. So, you know, especially people who haven't read the books, you know, so I'm not sure. It's like in this in-between area. I'm just not sure who's interested in this show if you haven't read the books. Like, I don't think it's appealing to kids or adults. Like, it's just kind of in this dull gray area where we're not really having fun, Percy's a downer, and, you know, everything's being rushed. And so I think that's really a problem. I really hope that next half of the show, the last episodes, are going to be a bit better, but that's the first three episodes, then I don't know. I mean, it's still good. I'm still enjoying it just because I love Percy Jackson and the Olympians, but even the movies had more fun than this, you know? So yeah, that's kind of really just the problem. So I don't know. So yeah, that's my review for, you know, episode three of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. It's fine, it's good, it's okay, but it's just the same problems as the first two. So, yeah, I'm really curious to see what people who haven't read the books think about the show. So leave your thoughts in the comments below. Be sure to stay tuned to the Percy Jackson Son of Poseidon podcast every week for reviews of the show. Also be reviewing the movies as well as the new sixth book, Chalice of the Gods. More content on this channel in the new year, so keep watching. Thank you, everybody. And until next time, are you guys good with chips and soda? Bye.